Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives you all your iniquities, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast, your life with steadfast love and mercy. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all the works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. To all who are gathered here, who are regular attenders, to all our visitors, and all those listening by electronic means, let us praise the Lord with singing and bless the Lord as we sing and Brent leads us.
Take the purple Sing the Story book and turn to number 113. And let's stand as we bless the Lord in song this morning.
The service this morning is going to be bilingual, English and Spanish. And remember that in the first message, when Peter preached, there was more than one language. So, I hope that you are able to follow the Spanish also. La llamada a la adoración. Sit down. Yeah. Aconteció que cuando todo el pueblo se bautizaba, también Jesús fue bautizado. Y orando, el cielo se abrió y descendió el Espíritu Santo sobre él en forma corporal, como paloma. Y vino una voz del cielo que decía, tú eres mi hijo amado, en ti tengo complacencia.
In the hymnal number 514, And we're going to do this with James accompanying on piano, and there's a bit of a swing to this. So I think we probably need to stand again and feel the music and move with the music. And if you feel along the way you need to sit down, that's fine. But let's stand again and sing, "Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing."
The bulletin you will find an insert, and it's an alternative or responsive reading in Spanish. So I'm hoping that all of you will do better than my English here. and say what is in Spanish here. La lectura alternada. El que creyere y fuere bautizado será salvo. Congregation. Creo que Jesucristo es el Hijo de Dios. Pues todos sois hijos de Dios por la fe en Cristo Jesús. Porque todos los que habéis sido bautizados de Cristo estáis revestidos. Amén.
Of the insert is a song we're going to sing on the other side of the insert, Renuévame, Señor Jesús. The words are, Renuévame, Señor Jesús. Ya no quiero ser igual. Renuévame, Señor Jesús. Pon en mí tu corazón. Porque todo lo que hay dentro de mí necesita ser cambiado, Señor. Porque todo lo que hay dentro de mi corazón necesita más de ti. Renuévame, Señor Jesús, ya no quiero ser igual. Renuévame, Señor Jesús, pon en mí tu corazón. Porque todo lo que hay dentro de mí necesita ser cambiado, Señor. Porque todo lo que hay dentro de mi corazón necesita más de ti. Renuévame, Señor Jesús, ya no quiero ser igual. Renuévame, Señor Jesús, pon en mí tu corazón. Porque todo lo que hay dentro de mí necesita ser cambiado, Señor. Porque todo lo que hay dentro de mi corazón necesita más de ti. Porque todo lo que hay dentro de mí necesita ser cambiado, Señor. Porque todo lo que hay dentro de mi corazón necesita más de ti. Porque todo lo que hay dentro de mi corazón necesita más de ti. Necesita más de ti. Necesita
Let us now confess what it is that we believe. Remembering our own baptismal vows and giving testimony to our faith. I will read a phrase and pause, and I would like for the congregation to say, "This we believe." At the end, I will have a short prayer. God is known to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator who seeks to restore fallen humanity by calling a people to be faithful in fellowship, worship, service, and witness. This we believe. Jesus is the Son of God. Through his life and teachings, his cross and resurrection, he showed us how to be faithful disciples, redeemed the world, and offers eternal life. This we believe. As a church, we are a community of those whom God's Spirit calls to turn from sin, acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, receive baptism upon confession of faith, and follow Christ in life. This we believe. As a faith community, we accept the Bible as our authority for faith and life, interpreting it together under Holy Spirit guidance in the light of Jesus Christ to discern God's will for our obedience. This we believe. The Spirit of Jesus empowers us to trust God in all areas of life, so we become peacemakers who renounce violence, love our enemies, seek justice, and share our possessions with those in need. This we believe. We should gather regularly to worship, to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and to hear the Word of God in a spirit of mutual accountability. This we believe. As a worldwide community of faith and life, we transcend boundaries of nationality, race, class, gender, and language. We seek to live in the world without conforming to the powers of evil, witnessing to God's grace by serving others, caring for creation, and inviting all people to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. This we believe. Let us pray. Lord, we also confess that we do not always live by what we say we believe. Forgive us, Lord, by your steadfast love and mercy. And trusting in God's mercy, we come before you this morning, remembering what we have promised to believe and to do. Help us, Lord, to do it. Amen. Brothers and sisters, having affirmed and confessed what we believe and trusting in God's mercy to forgive, let us share Christ's peace with the world and with each other, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you." The children may come forward now. Pastor Carolyn has a... Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Aren't we blessed today? Look at all these holy people. We're passing around the basket for children's offering. And I'm going to tell you a little more about our children's offering next week, but you should know it's going to go to Pedal Power. And it's we are providing seed money to start a public bicycle pump station that can be permanently mounted in a good place for the community. And our children's offering for this next quarter will be for that. You'll learn more about that in the weeks ahead. So if you have offering, you may put it in the basket. And if you don't, you can touch other people's offering, or you can bless the basket. All right. And can we pass it over here? All right. Here's some friends who wish to give offering. There we go. There you go. Can you put there? Excellent. Listen, nice. Thank you. Now, I'm going to ask the children to get up again. Do you see what's in this big tub? Water. Do you know what we're going to do here today? You can get all around it. There are people that are going to be baptized. If you want to touch the water, it's okay. Oh, it's warm, isn't it? No, you may not go in it just now, but I do hope when you're older and you wish to be baptized, it would be wonderful to have you. Here, do you want to feel the water? Oh, you want to put the offering. There we go. Yeah. All right. Now, I'm going to have you sit down just a little bit. There. Hi, Ashley. All right. Let's sit down, and if you had any toys or anything in your hands, make sure they come back out. All right, now can you sit down, because I'm going to tell you a funny thing about my house. Ruby. Byron. Oh.
Come on, David.
All right, I'm going to tell you something funny. At my house, there was something broken in the bathroom for 2 weeks, and we didn't have a bathtub that worked. And so we couldn't wash. What do you think happened to the people at my house?
They couldn't take a bath.
We couldn't take a bath.
So you took them bath and bath?
No, we washed in the sink, or I made the boys go play outside with the hose. But you know what? When the bathtub was all fixed, and we could get in it again and get clean, it felt so good. Do you know what it feels like when you're hot and sweaty, and then you get a bath, or you go swimming, and you feel all clean? Yeah, it's a good feeling. Yes, when we took a bath, it felt so good. And baptism, it wasn't as warm as this, and my bathtub's not this big either. All right, so when someone is baptized, that's something they do when they say they want to follow Jesus. And baptism is something that lets our eyes see and our bodies feel what God does to us in our hearts when we follow Jesus. When we want to follow Christ and we receive Jesus in our hearts, God makes our hearts new and clean. And baptism is something beautiful. It's a joyful thing where someone gets in the water or has water poured over them.
Wait, are they going to get all in the water?
They're going to get in the water. Yeah.
Well,
you know, every person is different. So whichever, it might be different when you choose to get baptized. Some people like the water poured on their head, and some people want to go under the water. And all those ways are baptism, right?
How did Jesus do it?
We don't know, because no one took a video when Jesus was baptized. Right. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this gift of water, and we thank you for the gift of baptism. And we pray that all these children, as they grow, will decide to follow Jesus and choose to be baptized into Christ. May we lead these children well and disciple them into the heart of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Now, you may go sit down now, but I have a very special job for you later. After Juliana and Barbara are baptized, when they come back in, you all are in charge of starting all of the joyful clapping and singing and waving hands. Can you do that for me? All right. So remember, so when you see later, remember that it's your job when they come back in after being baptized and getting all dried off. You start the rejoicing, okay? All right. You may go be seated. Thank you. Yep. That's for them when they get baptized.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark 1, verses 1 to 13. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'"
Estamos leyendo de el Evangelio según San Marcos, capítulo 1, versículos del 1 al 13. Y dice de esta manera: "Principio del Evangelio de Jesucristo, el Hijo de Dios, como está escrito en el profeta Isaías: 'Yo envío a mi mensajero delante de ti, el cual preparará tu camino.' Una voz clama en el desierto: 'Preparen el camino del Señor, enderecen sus sendas.' Juan se presentó en el desierto y bautizaba y proclamaba el bautismo de arrepentimiento para el perdón de pecados. Toda la gente de la provincia de Judea y de Jerusalén acudían a él. Y allí en el río Jordán confesaban sus pecados y Juan los bautizaba. La ropa de Juan era de pelo de camello, alrededor de la cintura llevaba un cinto de cuero y se alimentaba de langostas y miel silvestre. Al predicar, Juan decía: 'Después de mí viene uno más poderoso que yo. Yo no soy digno de inclinarme ante él para desatarle la correa de su calzado. A ustedes yo los he bautizado con agua, pero él los bautizará con el Espíritu Santo.'"
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven: "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him.
Por aquellos días llegó Jesús desde Nazaret de Galilea y fue bautizado por Juan en el Jordán. En cuanto Jesús salió del agua, vio que los cielos se abrían y que el Espíritu descendía sobre él como una paloma. Y desde los cielos se oyó una voz que decía: "Tú eres mi Hijo amado, en quien me complazco." Enseguida el Espíritu llevó a Jesús al desierto, y allí fue puesto a prueba por Satanás durante 40 días. Estaba entre las fieras y los ángeles le servían.
Our preacher this morning is our pastor Nelson Crabill, recently having come from the Jordan. And so at this time, Angel will lead the prayer for him.
I would like to say before I pray, we usually think that the message comes only from the pastor, the minister, or whoever stands behind the pulpit. Remember this: the audience is together with whoever brings the message. So we actually are together in bringing the message this morning.
That's right.
Yeah. Bendito Padre que estás en el cielo, Gracias por darle el privilegio a nuestro pastor de haber visitado a Jordania, de haber cruzado, de haber estado junto al lugar donde Jesús fue bautizado por Juan el Bautista. Y gracias, Señor, porque en este día estamos anticipando esa experiencia. Úsale, Señor, y dale la inspiración de lo alto para traernos el mensaje en el cual todos estamos envueltos como audiencia, como congregación, y que tu gracia nos acompañe a cada uno. En el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your prayers as I traveled for 2 weeks in Jordan, Palestine, and Israel, which included 3 days of sort of personal travel to some places in the West Bank where there's a lot of struggle, Hebron and Ramallah and Nablus. And on other occasions, I'll have more opportunity to say something about that. There's a woman named Snezhnia, who directs the Mennonite Central Committee Relief and Service Projects in Israel and Palestine. 10 days ago, she met with the group of 18 pilgrims I was traveling with in Jerusalem, and she explained to us something of the suffering and the hope of the Palestinian people caught in some of the cross currents of history that have been very difficult. These Palestinian people who since 1948 have had thousands of their homes and hundreds of their villages destroyed by the armies of Israel, whereupon settlers, Jewish settlers, move in and take the houses that belonged or what's left of the villages of the Palestinians. Snezhnia spoke passionately of the need for a kind of peace that will allow everyone in that land, Jew and Arab, Israeli, Palestinian, to live with security without the fear that somebody's going to take their property or destroy their possessions. And a member of our pilgrim group seemed to feel that Snezhnia was being too hard on the Israeli government. And so he spoke up at one point and he protested, saying, "You're talking about utopia. You're talking about something that is not realistic." "Yes," Snezhnia said, "we're talking about utopia. It's called the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God, she said, sets a high standard for justice and peace and holiness. It is a kind of utopia, that is a kind of ideal society, ideal human condition, something we mortals will never ever achieve on our own. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus at his baptism, so that we can live as people of God and live into this high standard of the kingdom. In her own spiritual vision, Snezhnia is already living in that reality. She can see it. She can feel it. You can read it in the scriptures. She's already crossed the border from the violence and the injustice of Palestine to a place where people live with respect and love for each other and reverence for God. Today we have the joy of receiving 2 new members into this congregation by baptism, Barbara Blue and Julian Aguirre. Baptism publicly marks our transition from a sinful and self-centered life to a life of obedience to our Creator. When we are baptized, we publicly celebrate and declare the end of our wanderings in the desert and our entry by the power of God into a land of promise, a relationship of promise with God and with the people of God. There is a precious piece of real estate in the country of Jordan that until recently was so full of landmines and political tension that a decade ago you couldn't even go there. And it's this space right here. This is Jordan on that side. This is Israel or Palestine on this side of the Jordan River. Jordan River going from the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. And the space I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes is that little plot of land there, known in the Old Testament as the Plains of Moab. Important biblical events take place at this spot. The children of Israel crossed over the Jordan right there, having wandered in the desert, having come up through what we call Jordan, what they called Edom and Moab and Ammon. They traveled up this way, and then they stopped right here for a while on the plains of Moab, right there before the Jordan River. And Moses died on Mount Nebo, and then the children of Israel go in and take Jericho and begin to possess the land. That's the first important thing that happens right there. The second important biblical event is the elevation or the taking up of Elijah into heaven in the whirlwind. Elijah was from right about there. He was from Gilead in modern Jordan. Most of his ministry was over here in Israel. But then just before he's taken up into heaven, he and Elisha cross the Jordan River, and Elijah is taken up into heaven there. And the third substantial biblical event that happens in the same spot is the baptism of Jesus. And the Gospel of John says that John the Baptist was baptizing at Bethany beyond the Jordan. In other words, according to the Gospel of John, John the Baptist was not baptizing in the Jordan River. He was baptizing at a spot beyond the river, and it's a marshy area there where some streams come through, at least in the rainy season, empty into the Jordan River right there, and there are natural pools of water there and streams where baptism could take place. This was Bethany beyond the Jordan. At many places in Israel, archaeologists have found mikvahs. Maybe before I go to that picture, I'll just give you a sense of what this area looks like. I took this picture a week ago. This is in Jordan, and this is the plains of Moab where the Israelites were. It's in these kinds of streams that John the Baptist would have baptized. There's multiple ones of these coming in. That's the Jordan River going right there. It's a very small river today. Just beyond it is Jericho. Right up there is the desert, the hills where Jesus was tempted. And on a clear day, you can just see Jerusalem on top of that mountain. Throughout Israel, archaeologists have found numerous mikvahs. And a mikvah is an ancient bath that typically has seven steps going down into it. It looks like a jacuzzi. It was used for ritually cleansing a Jewish person after perhaps touching a dead body or being in contact with a Gentile, or perhaps after the menstrual cycle, or after giving birth. After some sin that somebody committed, they wanted to be cleansed, they would go into the mikvah and they would go down into the water. The water had to be living water, they called it. That is, water that was not stagnant. It had to be water that would have come from a stream or even rainwater. And this particular mikveh was only discovered about 10 years ago in the village of Magdala, which is probably where Mary Magdalene is from. The ritual bathing that the Jews practiced in the ancient times not only cleanses a person physically, but it also prepares them emotionally and spiritually for the next thing that's going to happen in their lives. So when my Jewish sister-in-law gave birth to my twin nephews right after childbirth, she went into a mikveh and bathed, and she was preparing for raising her sons. John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus, went out into the desert that we've seen just a minute ago. He went to Bethany beyond the Jordan, and then he used these natural pools of water as kind of mikvahs to cleanse the people who wanted to repent from their sin and prepare for the coming of the reign of God. He said God's sending a messenger. He's sending a Messiah. He's sending somebody whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. John stood where Joshua once stood. Joshua stood at that point just before crossing into the promised land. And Joshua was coming on a military conquest. And Joshua went into the Jericho we saw just a minute ago. Joshua went into that Jericho and he brought the walls down and people died. And now John is preparing for another Joshua. Did you know that the name Jesus is the same name as Joshua? It's the New Testament version. It's the exact same name. Another Joshua is coming. This one we call Yeshua or Jesus. And he's coming. He also comes into Jericho to heal and to forgive Zacchaeus and to restore community. The Jewish mikveh over the years morphed into the Christian baptistry. This is what the spot looks like in the plains of Moab, where by tradition Jesus was baptized. It's rare for it to have that much water because now water is so scarce in these lands that most of the water gets used. But by tradition, this is the exact area where Jesus was baptized, and he surely was baptized very close to that. But the Christian version of the mikveh, and we should think of, I think, the baptismal font as being our interpretation of the mikveh of Jesus' day. The Christian mikveh, instead of having steps down into the water and right back, which is the way the mikveh always worked, you went into the water, got cleansed, you turned around and came back out. Every mikveh I've seen, and I've seen probably 25 of them, ancient ones, it's one way in, and then you turn around and come back. The Christian version of the mikveh, which we would call baptistry, has the candidate going down into the water, being baptized, probably by a bishop or a deacon, you know, on either side, and then going up the other side and out the other way. Christians go through the water. We don't simply go in and bathe. We go into the water. We go through the water. We go through the flood. We go through the Jordan River. And we come out into on the other side into a new reality, which for Jesus was going into the water and coming out into the new reality of his ministry. Right after Jesus' baptism, you recall, he went down into the baptismal water. He would have had then to cross the Jordan River. And the first thing that happens for Jesus once he gets over into the land of promise, the land of his primary ministry, is he's tested and he's tried and he's tempted. And the same thing will happen to us when we commit to follow Jesus. The adversary will want to stop us and we will be tested. And perhaps our friends or family or neighbors or others will not understand our new commitment. But the Holy Spirit will be upon us, and like it was on Jesus. And Jesus went through 40 days of testing in the wilderness, in that mountains that we saw on the other side of the Jordan River. And from there then, Jesus goes into his full public ministry. He goes up to Nazareth. He enters the synagogue. He takes the scroll that was given to him and says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the captives, liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind." Jesus enters his full ministry. And the same thing happens for us at baptism. We will go through the waters and we come out the other side into a new reality, a new era of our lives, where we are both tested and empowered by the Holy Spirit and given tasks and roles and ministry that God has for us. Snezhnia, the woman I spoke of a minute ago, is originally from Bosnia, and she's from a part of Eastern Europe where there was horrendous warfare and genocide in very recent memory. Everyone from Bosnia can tell stories of slaughter and of war crimes. And Snezhnia told us, she said, when I lived with hatred growing out of her experience in Bosnia, when I lived with hatred, I found more and more reasons to hate. But knowing Jesus, I started to live with love. And then I started to find more and more reasons to forgive. And what you have in Snezhnia is a woman who has gone through the waters, gone through the waters of suffering and, you know, a people that suffered genocide and themselves were at times caught up in the violence, and has come out on the other side a different person because of the change that Jesus brought to her heart and her life. The Gospel of Luke shows that John expected the same kind of change would happen in the people that he baptized. This is even before Jesus himself is baptized. John is already anticipating this new reality that the people of God now will reach into. And he says to the people who come out to him, it's not a very seeker-friendly service. He calls them a brood of vipers. You know, there's a real edge to what he has to say. But really, he said, if you want to know what you are to do, he said, if you have two coats, give one away to somebody who needs it. If you have more food than you need, give food away to somebody who's hungry. Soldiers, he said, stop using your power to extort money from frightened people. Tax collectors, John said, stop cheating the people when you collect taxes. Don't collect more taxes than is due and put it in your pocket. What we have here is a change of society. It's a change of individuals' hearts that then issues in a new way of functioning that is healthy for all the people. If John were preaching in the United States today, this season, he might say, Mennonites, share your material possessions with those who are in need. John might say, police, stop killing black people. He might say, politicians, drop your plans to build walls and care for people in need at home and abroad. Cross over the Jordan into a new way of living. Repent and live differently. The baptism of Jesus is a common theme in icons through the ages. Jesus was not a sinful man. So why did Jesus need to be baptized? Even for Jesus, baptism was a crossing of the Jordan River. And I believe these icons have Jesus in the Jordan. The Gospels vary in where they place this event. But I want to just point out a few things, because icons teach some theology about what the church believes. So you have Jesus here, and he's in the icons, he's either naked or nearly naked. And it's the vulnerability of God, the God incarnate. And it's also a reminder that when we're baptized and we enter into the waters, we leave everything behind. And the early church actually did baptize people completely naked. It was, you leave everything behind, you go into the waters, and you come out, and then you are clothed in white robes, and you have a new, you're into a new reality. And so Jesus is standing in the water. He's standing on a cross, you see that? And the cross is crushing the serpents of evil. And then you have the sea monsters. This would be the river monster, and this is the Red Sea monster. The monsters of chaos are leaving as the power of Christ comes in. Chaos rushes away and flees. And then John stands in the old reality. This being the old reality, this the new reality. Jesus is the transition point. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down. And that has to do with how we function in the world. I believe that's Elijah and Elisha. I'm not sure, but that would make sense because it's the same area. You have a cave which often represents death or Hades. So you've got death over on this side. And then over here you have the angels, and they're ready to dress Jesus and dry him and welcome him into the new reality of the kingdom of God. And the baptism of Jesus is the first time in the scriptures that we have the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit presented together. And in the baptism, you have a voice comes from heaven. And I think, you know, that line probably represents the voice, but that is the arc of divinity there. You have the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a dove. And of course, Jesus, the Son, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we give our lives wholly to God, the adversary will test us, and we also will be given new roles and new tasks. As Jesus passed through these waters of baptism, a voice came from heaven that said, "You are my Son. You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." And as that voice sounded, the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And then Jesus surrounded himself with the body of Christ, the people of Christ. We have the 12 God-seekers who we call the disciples. These were men. But there were women too. There were several Marys. There's a group of women and men that are always seem to be traveling with Jesus. Living the way of the kingdom is not something we do alone or can do alone. Mark says at this baptism of Jesus, the heavens were torn open. And I think of that as an image of our coming to know Jesus and coming to baptism as a time when the closure between heaven and earth opens up, and we have access to God the Father, God who functions to us as a healthy father-child relationship. That God we now know in a new and intimate way. And we then hear the voice, "You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved Son." We live under an open heaven, an open sky when we know Jesus and go through the waters of the Jordan. The Holy Spirit pours out on us. Sometime before you leave the building today, leave this room, I invite you to come up to the water, maybe after the service, and put your hand into the water and feel the warmth, and maybe put some of the water in your forehead. And remember your baptismal vows. And if you've not been baptized, if you've not made that public confession, maybe this will be a time where you test the waters and you put your fingers in and you request baptism, and we will be we will rejoice to receive you. I brought back from Jordan, from the Jordan River, two little bottles of Jordan River water, and when I sit down, I will pour a little bit of that into the tub, and we will baptize today in the same waters that Jesus, where Jesus received his baptism. Barbara and Julian, today we as a congregation welcome you into the body of Christ, his church. We have seen the evidence of God at work in your life. We have heard your testimony, and we want to walk with you as you, along with us, learn day by day what it means to follow Jesus. You are God's beloved daughter. You are God's beloved son. You are sister and brother with us. With you, God is well pleased. With you, we are well pleased. In you, the Holy Spirit dwells. And in following Jesus, you will find joy and hope. Amen.
In the hymnal worship book, turn to number 444. And please stand in body or in spirit as we sing together.
It's been my joy over the past months to get to know Barbara Blue. Barbara was raised in the loving arms of her church family in Benton Harbor. And then, like many of us do when we're young adults, she moved away somewhere else for a long time. And when she came back to this area, when she moved to Elkhart, a neighbor of hers invited her to Prairie Street, and almost the first thing she said when I met her is, "I want to be baptized." And it's been my joy to study and pray with Barbara these weeks. And her faith is an inspiration to me. She had an experience about 7 years ago of being saved. And even through hard times, her faith in God has held her. She's felt that she is held by Jesus. And even this morning, she said, "I've got butterflies in my stomach, but I want God to come into my heart." And I am so grateful to God for bringing Barbara to us. And I look forward to you becoming our sister in Christ today.
Thank you. Barbara, we ask some questions of you to be clear about your commitment and your desire and our hopes for you. So I would ask that you answer, "I do," if these things are true for you, Barbara. Do you believe that Jesus loves you?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that Jesus forgives you of all your sins?
Yes, I do.
Do you love Jesus and want to live by his teachings?
Yes, I do.
And Barbara, do you want to be a member of this church?
Yes, I do.
Amen.
Barbara, upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
And Barbara, now you have gone into the waters to be buried with Jesus, and you have risen in new life to walk in his path. So now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I anoint you for all that lies ahead in your journey with the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I invite Julian Aguirre and James Crable to come forward. Yeah. In the case of Julian, there are two of us that have walked with him in a particular way. I've had opportunity to do Bible study with Julian 8 or 10 times this summer. And James Crable has also been close to Julian, and James is going to say a few words about Julian.
Well, I've had two occasions to connect with Julian over the last number of years. One of those has been in the Spanish language class that meets during Sunday school hour. Julian is always there and eager and following whatever lessons that we have. For the rest of you, you may not know, he's usually the first person at church as well. When the worship team gets here at 8:30, he's one of the first people to arrive and sit and prepare, I think, himself for the worship service. More recently, I've had the occasion to have several breakfasts with Julian. I was able to learn other parts of his life. He's lived in the States for many years. He has worked in something like 30 states in construction. He probably knows the country better than some of us do. And has been a builder and a carpenter and contractor in helping to build, work for different companies. I've learned about his family in California and other connections that he has. And throughout all of this, he has expressed a growing interest in being a part of this congregation and following Jesus. When I talked to him this morning before the service, he said, "This is an exciting day, but it's a little scary." We want you to bless him as you can. Sometimes I hear people in the congregation say, "I don't know what to say to our Spanish-speaking friends because I don't speak Spanish." Julian speaks English. Congratulate him. Welcome him into the family. I know he will appreciate it. It's a joy for me to be here and witness this today, and I want to wish you all the Lord's blessings.
Well, I want to say this, I'm excited. Thus, I have a lot of nerves, but this is the first time to receive to Jesus and the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm really happy because this is a very special day for me. Thank you for being here, all the congregation. Thank you for everything and for this a great opportunity to change my life. Thank you all.
Now, Brother Julian, I'm going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus loves you?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that Jesus forgives you of all your sins?
Yes, I do.
Do you love Jesus and want to live by his teachings?
Yes, I do.
And Julian, do you want to be a member of this church?
Yes, I do.
Amen.
Julian, we've seen the evidence of God's love in you, and we've seen your desire to follow Jesus. We see the changes in your life and the joy of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You and I have studied the scriptures together this summer. I know your hunger for the Word of God and your desire for a whole new chapter in your life. And so upon your confession of faith in Jesus, we will baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
James, do you hold the mic for me?
Hold it for you?
Yeah, because I'm going to listen anyway. One arm. Now, Julian, you have desire to follow Jesus. You have gone into the waters as Jesus did, and you have risen on the other side, and you now are prepared to walk in resurrection life. So for this journey ahead, I baptize you, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, beloved body of Christ, let us pray. Yes. Almighty God, we give you thanks that in the beginning your Spirit moved upon the face of the waters and you said, let there be light. We give you thanks that you led your people through the waters of the Red Sea, out of slavery and into the freedom of the promised land. We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was baptized in the River Jordan, that he passed through the deep water of death on the cross and was raised to life in triumph. So now send your Holy Spirit anew upon these new members, Julian and Barbara, and all of us, that we each may grow in Christ's likeness for his sake. Amen. And now invite the ushers to come forward.
As the offering is received, I invite you to take the green Sing the Journey book and turn to number 106. Just a closer walk with thee. Thank you.
Okay, children, one more time, and grown-ups of every age, it is time to once again welcome our new baptized members with cheers and hallelujahs. Woohoo! And I invite you to find that blue hymnal. Find the blue hymnal and turn to 118 for our praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Please join in a prayer for Julian. God, we thank you for our new brother in Christ. We thank you for his hunger for you, for the change that you are working in his life, for the joy of knowing Jesus. Give him strength for the journey, always friends and fellow pilgrims to travel with him, and keep him faithful to Jesus to the end of his life. Amen.
All-powerful God, grant Barbara the fullness of the Holy Spirit, a clean heart, a right spirit, the joy of salvation. Make her one in whom Christ is seen to live again. Release the gifts you gave her in creation and redeemed in Christ. Barbara, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly. May your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and will do it. Amen.
Please be seated.
Do sit down. We have water for each of you from the River Jordan. Okay. And we have across from Jerusalem, a reminder of the water and the blood, the two important baptisms, and the third one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So for you too, Julian, God bless you.
And now let's pray together. O gracious God, we come as your congregation this morning to exalt you and praise your name. We really can't comprehend your greatness. We marvel at the beautiful things and the beautiful people you have created. We praise you for your unending love, your forgiveness of all our sins, and for the way that you guide us. Thank you especially this morning for Julian and for Barbara, for their faith and their commitment to you and to us, your people here at Prairie Street. We pray that they will be great witnesses for you. We thank you too for Dorothy Horst's celebration of her 90th birthday yesterday, for how she has touched and blessed so many people through the years. Thank you that you desire us to bring our problems and concerns to you. Thank you that you understand. You share our burdens and comfort us. You help us in times of pain, and we pray for Ed this morning, Ed Miller, and the pain that he is suffering. We pray for continued healing for Irene and for Simon. We long to draw closer to you, O God, to love as Jesus loved, to trust you completely, and to rest securely in your grace. Bless us now, O God, through this coming week. Give us strength to do the work that you call us to do, and give us love like Jesus for everyone that we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In the Sing the Story book, the purple book, turn to number 40. And we'll begin with the Zulu and then follow with the English.
We have a bountiful table of fellowship down in our little bit dusty fellowship hall, so come rejoice with us. If you wish, you may greet Barbara and Julian on the way out or in fellowship hall. And don't forget, you're invited to come up and remember your baptism or anticipate it by dipping your hands in the baptismal water. Now receive the benediction. All-powerful God, grant this church and all in it the fullness of the Holy Spirit, a clean heart, a right spirit, the joy of salvation. Make us people in whom Christ is seen to live again. Release the gifts you gave us in creation and redeemed in Christ. Amen.